But you gotta find a partner, not a vendor.
And it is, like, it seems like a weird thing to ask, but it's almost like, what would you say? Like, I didn't do one, but you know, like a prenup? Yes. You might want a prenup.
You might want a prenup. That's like, a good idea. I like that. I haven't heard that.
Basically, get a prenup with your agency.
What are some other differences between good and bad agencies that you've noticed?
Hey, how's it going? It's Tim Brown, and this is the Plumbing and HVAC Hustle Podcast. And today, I've got Jennifer Baglion from CI Web Group. Appreciate you joining me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And this might feel a little weird to some people that we are in the same business, marketing agency. And so I just want to like kind of address that real quick. But what we're going to talk about is the differences between good and bad agencies and getting the most out of your agency. And I think like the ideal scenario is that you're friendly with your competitors so you can learn more. And honestly, good companies, when they band together, help create a standard for the industry, ideally. That's, I think, what I would like. I like to shoot for, at least.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's already challenging enough for entrepreneurs, A, to try and decipher the difference between what's good and what's bad. How do I even ask the right questions? Where do I start? How do I evaluate? I mean, it's already hard enough that at least if there's a core foundational things that they can wrap their arms around and feel confident and comfortable in being able to evaluate in advance, then you're a step further than starting from scratch or having to learn the lesson by going through 20 agencies, jumping around like a bunny.
Probably not ideal.
Not ideal. So, starting over is not good.
Yeah. So one of the core things that we're excited to talk about is owning your marketing. Because I think that that's what drew me to you as another agency that I feel like is recommending what I believe is correct.
Yeah.
Which is, how do you make sure you own your assets? Basically, like, how do you know? Like, let's say, because you say that, but a lot of people out there don't even know.
Own your assets.
If they own their stuff. Yeah. Own your assets. Own your assets. So how do you know if you do own your assets?
Okay, so let's just break them down, right? First, website. So if I rent an apartment, I'm not going to remodel it. I'm not going to remodel the apartment, right? I'm leasing it. So if you're going to rent a website, lease it, or not own it, or be able to transfer fully the website, and I mean website, I mean content management system, website files, and content. If you can't move it when you're tired of or want to move to another agency, then you don't own it. So if you're investing money into a rental, probably not a good idea. You wouldn't do it with your house. I would not recommend anybody does it with the website. That's
first. So you could go ahead and name some agencies that...
I'm not going to name agencies. Tell you there's multiple here.
Yeah. Okay.
And I don't mind having that conversation. There's multiple agencies here that, number one, will offer to assist you in purchasing a domain name.
Okay.
And then they own that. They'll offer to build you a website for a low monthly cost, and then they own that. They will offer to also include all of the content, and then they own that.
And sometimes it's copy and pasted?
On 30 or 40 different websites.
Which is terrifying.
Terrifying.
Not good for your SEO.
Duplicate content's probably not a good idea for like the last decade. It's not new.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Google wants unique and relative and informational and educational content that's yours. So no, I don't want to share content or a website with someone else.
So people squabble sometimes with me about the like copied and pasted content thing. Like they're like, well, does it really matter? It's like, well, if you're doing, let's say a location page for like a suburb that's near you, you're making a location page plus service, and then there's five other companies with that same exact content, how would, like, who comes first? I mean, obviously there is an answer to that question, but the point is like, why would it set you apart at all? How is it, you know, Google wants unique and interest. Like, how is it supposed to tell what's the best content?
So there's kind of this large company called Google that's put in a significant investment into these little things called bots and an algorithm that evaluates this, right? So duplicate content, A, it's going to choose what content it believes was first and most relevant. And secondly, even duplicate content within your own website, now you have cannibalization issues within your own site.
Yeah.
So you've got to be really careful about duplicate content across the board because it's going to choose one and the rest, you're in the trash.
Okay, I know some contractors that are thinking we're going into nerd stuff right here.
We're
going
to nerd out a little bit.
But let's get back to the choosing an agency because that's something they are doing right now. Let's say, which I do like to go nerdy. So we're going to save a little bit more nerd stuff for the end. And we're going to talk about how to choose right.
Okay.
Because how to choose right is a question that everyone, like whether or not, because some contractors want to stay away from getting into the weeds on the marketing. And frankly, I understand that's professionalism. They believe they would rather delegate that to professionals.
But you at least have to be able to ask the right questions and know enough to avoid a tail whipping.
Oh, exactly.
Those lessons hurt.
No, absolutely. So what if you are in one of those situations right now? What steps could you take to regain control if somebody owns your assets? Like let's say somebody owns your Google Ads account, somebody owns your website, somebody owns
analytics,
your domain, your Google
business profile,
sure,
your GLSA account. So
what do we do? What do we take a step? Like if we're in that tough situation, do we have to create a new thing?
I feel like we've been in every situation. Mm-hmm. I've had companies that have taken legal action with old agencies. I've had companies that said, bite me, took their assets that they could, or had another agency come in and just rebuild everything really quickly. I've had agents or companies that lost precious and valuable time barking and arguing and fighting for many, many, many months and making it nowhere.
The thing is it is worth it to try your damnedest
to get stuff.
Because like, if you lose your domain, and sometimes contractors are like, oh, it's not that big of a deal.
That's huge.
Make a new domain. But like starting from scratch with particularly SEO is the most painful. It's basically like there's a period of time where there's almost Google's like, no, you're a new website. You get nothing.
Yeah.
And like some people call that the sandbox. Well, it's really hard to get out of that.
Yeah.
It takes a while. So it's kind of like you want to make sure you have consistency on your domain for a long period of time. You want to do your best to get that domain back. And then the other one that was really bad, that if you lose it, it's so bad, your Google business profile, all those reviews, you know, how long does it take to get it? How much is one Google review worth to you? It's worth a lot. Like and those add up. So if you had 150 reviews and then you had to start from scratch, that could be a lot of time and effort down the drain. I would at least guess that's like $15,000 worth of like value there, if not a lot more, because it's what is your reputation worth?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, there's so many elements to this. First, note to all the agencies that are taking ownership of dealers' websites, content, domain, Google Business, analytics, and everything else, you're wrong.
Yeah.
And, I'm sorry.
And you're on notice.
You're on notice.
Because
we have a problem with this. These are entrepreneurs. Yeah. Like, it's hard enough to be a small business owner. Everything is difficult. So taking advantage of small business owners as a retention tactic, it's wrong. I believe it's wrong.
It's wrong. And I don't know why you think that's okay. Like, why do they think that's okay?
It's not a retention tactic.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be a retention tactic. So in addition to that, now I'll put some ownership on the agents or on the contractors.
Yeah.
So as a contractor, because you're not tech savvy or you don't like doing that stuff, it also means don't have your office manager or somebody in your company that happens to work for you. Don't have them own all your assets either, because they leave and you're up a creek, right?
Yeah.
So as a business owner, if you own your own company, you need to be responsible for it. You can have an agency help you with the setup. They can jump on a Zoom. They can take over your computer and assist you. They can help walk you through it, but don't let them set it up for you yourself. Mm-hmm. And ask better questions. Just a confirmation from an account manager that says, oh yeah, you own everything. I know you don't read the contracts. I know you don't read the fine print. And when you try to leave and you swear that they told you you owned it, it's too vague. So do your homework, ask better questions, get it in writing, make sure that you can ask specifically, when I leave your company, when do I get a copy of all of my website and my files and my database and my content, all of my logins, all of my assets, and you remove yourself as an admin and you make me the admin, period.
And the thing that, why this is important, and I've had a prospect ask me at a trade show one time, like, you know, average retention and stuff like that. And we know that sometimes contractors jump around, and so it's hard to answer that
question.
Like, yeah, okay,
you're
they jump
so
around
nice.
A lot. Okay. The point, what I'm getting at is like, they were like, why is it important to talk about how this might end? And it is like, it seems like a weird thing to ask, but it's almost like, what would you say? Like, I didn't do one, but you know, like a prenup. Yes. You might want a prenup.
You might want a prenup. That's like, a good idea. I like that. I haven't heard that.
Basically, get a prenup with your agency.
Absolutely. You guys, you jump. I know you jump. And you need to test the water. Mm-hmm. Soy, raw oats. Yeah. I get it. Yeah. Right? And that's fine. But when you do, if you're leaving our company, go over to Hook or vice versa. Guess what? We package up everything.
Yep.
We have great communication back and forth. We send information easily. Red carpet service in, red carpet service out.
And we call it peaceful transfer of power. Like, we give you all your logins in one document and say, this, give this to your next agency. Because, like, it is basically, life is too hard as a small business owner to then lose precious time and effort that you invested in it. So if you invested in it, you should own it. You know, we are not Angie. And we are not like, we are not these platforms that are like, you're just paying into and getting a lead and then they're selling it 5 times to 5 other companies so you guys can be the lowest.
There's three other trucks in the driveway when you get there.
Race to the bottom on pricing. Like, right? That's what you have to do when you get those leads. You have to be so quick, so fast on the phone. And then like you're kind of in a bad race to the bottom on pricing. So I just think agency effort should be building something that you own and that there should be minimal downtime if you're switching, and it should be ethical, and it should be kind of just smooth right. Transfer. I think that's what we both believe. What are some other differences between good and bad agencies that you've noticed that like, something that like they should be on the watch for?
This is a big list.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Let me put myself down first.
Yeah.
Okay, so when we started our business in 2026, I, like many other entrepreneurs, I started with hire your friends and family. Then we leveled up a little bit and we hired anybody who would work for cheap. And then we leveled up a little bit and we said, if you want to learn digital marketing, I'm here to teach you, right? And we're going through 2006, 8, 10, and I can keep going through this period mm-hmm. of time, right? So at some point you have an established company that is past all of those entrepreneurial mistakes that you have to do as an entrepreneur yourself, right? And you get to the point where you want the best of the best. You're not bringing in an account manager that's an intern that is just learning. How do you get an intern to be able to, or an entry level an account manager, be able to advise a company owner that's trying to go from 10 million to 20 million, or trying to prep their business for sale, or trying to increase their multiplier because they're on the market right now, right? How do you get a brand new person who's never even owned a home to be able to do SEO for HVAC products and services? They don't know what a heat pump is, or a ductless unit, or a mini split unit, or a package unit. They don't understand all of these things. Mm-hmm. So one is, I mean, and really when you finally get to apples, you've got an experienced agency that has experienced team members. Now it's about finding a vibe, right? Mm-hmm. Who do you connect with? You're not going to connect with everyone on our team. You're not going to connect with everyone you work with, but you got to find a partner, not a vendor. If mm-hmm. you are sitting in that vendor relationship and you're not connected to them as a partner, you're going to feel like you want to jump on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. You know, I tell every single new prospect, you got to show up, suit up, and participate.
Oh.
You got to come to the table with more than an appetite. Do not have me care more about your business than you do, because that's not going to fly.
That's a big one. And that's one that no agency is going to be able to fix or do. Like, just, yeah, we've talked about this before, but nobody is going to care more about your business than you do. And you have to have sweat equity.
Yep.
You have to spend those first couple million, don't come from paying your way out of it.
I like the one when they're like, well, I'm investing so much in SEO, I thought that would make it faster.
Mm.
It increases the breadth of which you're getting optimized for.
Yeah.
But there's no, I'm going to speed it up.
Yeah.
There's either they're doing a good job and they're taking the action. So so I got off track, but
no, you're good.
You talked about good agencies and bad agencies. The worst scenario is you have money going out on a monthly basis and there's actually no monthly SEO being done. I'm sorry, but.
Or just a minuscule
I have
amount.
A list of who falls in that bracket.
Yeah. And the funny thing is an agency, Why it's so funny to us is we can look.
I can see.
We can look on the back. And if somebody, especially if somebody says, we've been doing SEO for 2 years, and then you look and there's just no...
On 18 pages?
On Ahrefs or SEMrush or whatever you choose. Like, we can check on the back end, like how many keywords they're ranking for. And it's such a low amount. And it's the graph is just flat for 2 years. And you're just like,
why is there 9,000 toxic links? I don't think you should be linked to from porn sites in Viagra.
Well, it depends on what type of business you are. So if there's anyone watching that's an adult website, you're good. No, but exactly. There's so many red flags, and they're obvious to us. But the reason that people can't listen sometimes is because we look like a competitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we say there hasn't been content done, what links are they building on a regular basis? And why is it a flat graph and there's no more keywords than there was 2 years ago? We can say it to each other. We know exactly what that means. And that means something very specific. It means that that company hasn't been doing real SEO, but then the client is telling us that they've been doing it for 2 years and they've been paying for it. That's where we get confused. And we can say to ourselves, it's basically objective at that point.
Okay, so let me throw something in though. So flat graph for 2 years.
Yeah.
There's also this scenario of a client investing in SEO once, picking out a plan, identifying primary set of key phrases, maxing out their investment, meaning that we're now in maintenance mode, keeping all of those phrases on page one of Google, and the client isn't increasing their SEO investment equal to their business growth.
Oh, there you go.
That's going to flatline as well, because your analytics are going to show an increase.
Yeah.
Once all pages that are available inside your digital store are visible on page one of Google, now you're going to start to plateau. Here's the problem with plateau, and at this conference, this is every part of this conference and every other conference is talking about the fact that demand is decreased drastically.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
That's
so
true too.
If you plateau and you don't expand your efforts as a contractor, you're going to feel a market contraction.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to take it in the tail and you're going to feel like, holy hell, I was doing well last year, 2021, 2022, and in 2023, I started to feel the pain. And in 2024, middle of election year, interest rates through the roof, consolidation efforts, right? They're trying to curb inflation. Consumers are
tightening up,
right? You're going to feel that because you didn't expand. So
I will say, and one more note to that, to give like some context for, especially for like other agencies watching this, it's hard to give like the full context to all these things. The other one is that large sites are a little bit different. Like they go up and down a bit, and it's hard to, I'll just say this, very large sites are very hard to move on SEO too. I'm just, basically like I can think of a few clients where they're big and it's like, anyways.
I'll take that, it depends. I mean.
SEO is all it depends, by the way, so.
There's so many factors, this is.
But there is, but what I was trying to get to is there's some things where it doesn't depend and you can tell that they're being taken
just
advantage
no work,
of.
Right?
Yes.
I try and tell everybody I can rip apart any website.
Yeah.
Any website, including the ones we own. Now there's tons of, smaller agencies that are using these little sales tools where they can pop out, a website report. We used those back when we were rookies and it was really easy to be able to say, oh, your website sucks. There is no point in time when you don't have work to do on your website.
Mm-hmm.
There is no point in time where you're not missing things that you should be doing, where there's backlinks that need to be cleaned up, where there are plugins that need to be updated, where there's code that needs to be optimized, database that needs to be optimized, compressed. You always have work to do. Your marketing, it's not a project.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lifestyle. Yeah. So, I always try and just make sure that ripping apart a site, if I can't rip apart a website, including the ones we take to market, that means you have no room for growth.
Mm-hmm.
None.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Hey there, are you a home service business owner that's tired of your answering service just kicking the can down the road? Well, we can help. Pink Callers will assign a dedicated, supported, and trained individual to answer your phones, emails, texts, and even more. Give us a call at 888-325-7465, or better yet, check us out online, www.pinkcallers.com.
How else can we get that? Like, I'm just thinking from a contractor's perspective, how can we get the most out of our agency? Like, what can we do that would allow us to get the best relationship and the best results from our agency, from your perspective?
Dude, you gotta show up with your tribal knowledge, right? You know your market, you know your area. So first, get an actual market analysis done. Where's your physical location? Where do you have technicians that dispatch from home? Where are the majority of your customers from your database, where you have some brand recognition in those markets? What other markets are available that you're interested in? Do the analysis. Figure out what's the average income? What percent are homeowners? How many potential repairs and replacements are happening? You can do this, right? Repairs are on a 2.25 year cycle. Replacements are on a 10 year cycle, depending where you are. You can figure out what the total potential opportunity is, but work on that with your agency. Then you need to actually sit down and figure out what is the inventory list that you want to take to market. When we sit down in our companies, we say, what do we want to sell? Where do we want to sell it? And who do we want to sell it to? And then we figure out how to take that to market using our digital store. It's not like someone comes into our office and shops for marketing services. It's not like somebody walks into your company and shops for heat pumps or packaged units on the system. You've got to make a complete inventory list. And then over time, you've got to have more intelligent conversations. So one of our clients is in here. He's been with us for like 7 years. And we sit down, and every time we sit down, we go through and start expanding the additional services. So now they want to do earthquake shutoff valves. I didn't know you could shut off an earthquake first, but those are tribal knowledge things. I'm not gonna, like, yeah. I didn't know that existed. I'm a girl. But we start going through and expanding these other things that they know are in high demand. No different than right now in California, demand sucks. Everybody's windows and doors are open. No one's just proactively going, not no one, but demand for consumers who are proactively going and looking to replace their heating and air conditioning system is so low. So they're waiting until they turn the system on in order for it to break, in order to then reach out and have a repair. But what's happening in their market is real estate is picking up. So if real estate's picking up, now you have homeowners that are sitting with an inspector and a real estate agent, and they've got an underwriting condition that can't get cleared until they get an HVAC inspection. So that's a new term that's happening because of that tribal knowledge. So if you don't sit down and have open conversations, you know, figure out, really talk about, is your plumbing business taking off and you're getting too many plumbing leads and don't have enough people, so we need to start helping with recruiting? Or is demand too low on your HVAC installation replacement business? What are you doing with your existing database? Go after tune-ups. Whatever the scenarios are, we can't help advise unless you're participating, honest,
it's context,
talking like business owners should talk, instead of it being superficial. Like, I tell everyone three things. When you get on a meeting with your agency, what's working, do more of it. What's not, figure out if you need to tweak it, give it a little more time, put some more energy into it. And what's next? What are you not doing yet that you should be doing? Because no one in this room is doing everything they should be doing. There's always room.
It's really good. And I want to be an advocate for niched agencies, even though we're fairly new to the HVAC and plumbing niche. When I'm in a niche, and we've been traditionally in roofing, but we're pushing in here, say there's just so much context that a niched agency starts to get and gets that you have that in comparison with a local agency, you just have to teach them so much. If you go and grab somebody from a BNI group, yeah, they're nice and yeah, you got your one-on-ones or whatever. But the problem is they're learning everything on your account.
From you.
And
which is worse.
Which, yeah, tell me why that's worse.
You're a subject matter expert. You're too technical. You don't think like a consumer anymore.
Yeah.
You use these terms and words that consumers don't use. Right? I mean, prior to the IRA, you guys throwing around the term heat pump, consumers weren't familiar with it. Mm-hmm. Now demand is starting to increase for the term heat pump, no different than it did for ductless, no different than it did for mini split. You randomly throw around terms like heating and cooling, or we sell furnaces. Okay, well, if you're in California, they likely probably don't refer to it as a furnace. I'm from Washington. Furnace is something in Freddy Krueger's basement. It eats small children, has fire coming out. Somebody's going to die.
Yeah.
So you when you throw out all these terms, they just do what you say. That's why you have a website that doesn't generate any air conditioning business, because you don't have anything related to AC or air conditioning on your website and you haven't drilled in. Or worse, you say, I sell furnaces. Look, you're not Home Depot. You're not Walmart. Do you want to compete with ginormous companies who have huge budgets for an e-commerce. You probably don't want to sell furnaces out of the back of your truck and compete with companies. So sometimes you say things that make local agencies build your website like it's an e-commerce store. And now you're showing up for searches where you're trying to compete with 200 million pages. And it's the largest website platforms there are. You're a service company, AC repair, AC replacement, AC installation, AC service, AC maintenance, AC tune-up, AC inspection. Like, get the list down. Service company.
Love it. Such a good mindset. And I just, if I lose a company, if I lose a client, I want to lose them to you.
I would say the
versus these little local agencies where they just don't, literally, I just believe they're going to have a much better experience on their marketing if they go to somebody with context. Everything's better with context.
Mm-hmm.
It's why I'm like working so hard on like employee retention. So they have context on our business. Why I think you should stay with an agency for multiple years because context on your account. And like, I believe that there's the context is what makes the best marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Context. And I think studying homeowners is part of that context too, right? Like, how do they make purchase decisions? Consumer behavior is changing. They are looking for quicker pricing information. These different these changes that are happening in culture and our homeowners right now. And I think having that context, there is something to be said about local context too, which I think that would be the counterpoint to what I'm saying. And I want to note that there's so much, like there's a lot of very important, like you can tell us, you know, when the biggest demand times are in your market.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to give like all the context on all the products and all the things. And so I just think that it's more important, the context on the products and the types of services that you're offering.
What he does is he teaches the most valuable team in your business. He'll just add nothing but profit.
There's so much money left in the call center. So much money. If you're not at a 90% booking rate, showing empathy on the phone, smiling on the phone, making sure they're having a better day after they got off the phone with you, then you need to call Power Selling Pros and Sebring.
All right, so I've gotten through my questions. Now we can just be real. What else do we got?
So you talked about choosing an agency, and I'll just, you know, being very transparent, like we're in different stages. You're in this awesome stage where I remember when I knew every client's name.
Yeah.
And I got to have this, I got to talk to every single customer.
I am losing
customer.
Track, by the way.
Well, I mean, you have a closer pulse on things.
Yeah.
And we're almost in the reverse, where we're trying to restructure our organization to create these squads that feel more like a boutique agency, so that they have less customers, a really strong squad around them to try and be able to, you know, have the same feeling. So I don't want to grow to the point where anybody feels like a number. But these moments where you get to know your team in an agency, I know you guys freak out when you get a new account manager, but sometimes agencies pull the trigger on that because they need a new set of eyes. Like, instead of bouncing agency to agency to agency to try and get a new set of eyes and some new pitch with a new strategy and a new team you're not sure of results with, if things are going well and you want to scale up, like, ask for a new team, a new account manager within your same agency, and give me a new group, because you can bring, it's like getting a brand new client. When we pass a client from one squad to another squad, the new squad treats them just like they were brand new.
Mm-hmm.
So their eyeballs are on, what is everything we missed? Where are all the opportunities? What, you know, and there's a huge benefit to being able to bounce within the same company from team to team to team. If you've got really skilled account executives, it's just, you got to have a connection with whoever you're working with. You got to get to the point where you're friends. Like, my clients who know that well, like, they get freebie stuff all the time, stuff I never even, I'm like, oh yeah, you should invest in that. They're like, your team already gave it to me. I'm okay, go figure. What are you sending them, cookies?
Well, go figure that when you're nice to the agency that didn't work for you.
Don't be mean.
And you encourage them. That how do your employees work? That's the thing. It's like, and I know that some people just aren't at that stage where they've really learned leadership yet.
Culture.
But why does it work when you encourage the shit out of your team? And it works because that's how our brains work. And there's like a little bit of an expectation there now for employees that want encouragement regularly. And so we have to learn that. And it's true for your marketing team too, is like, if you really encourage them when they do a good job, that's going to have such a bigger impact on your results than if you're sitting there shaming them every time there's a small mistake. And I promise you there will be mistakes.
There's going to be spelling errors.
There's going to be something
wrong. It's
going to
happen. So like the wrong whole, picture.
So the point is work with them and work with them like they're actual human beings, because that stuff does matter and it will allow you to have a better experience long-term. Because I promise you, like, whether it's freebies or whether it's just like, we're pushing on your account, right?
Yes.
Because we want to make daddy proud, okay? Yes. We want to make mommy proud because we like you and we're trying. So like, I'm sure you're like us where you're always going to do what you said you're going to do. You
make
do,
it right when you screw up
You make
up
it right
something.
When you screw up. But then there's also this added like, we're going to push a little extra. We're going to give some stuff we're going to give some extra effort on that account where we love that guy. That guy's nice.
It's our promoters. Yeah. We have a net promoter score flag in our system. And like, I'm just going to call out, like Josh, I probably posted like 30 reels or whatever from clients that are here that are avid promoters.
Yeah.
They're tagging our team. They give public praise all the time. They tag us when people are asking, who do you use? And we have a scoring system in-house and our team knows those top clients who are strong partners.
Yep.
Right. Who work with us. I mean, just being able to sit down business owner to business owner and get feedback from Josh Thompson or Ben Sibley, or I can go through this list of like, I consider these my advisors. Mm-hmm. They're HVAC and plumbing and electrical entrepreneurs. They're owners. And when we sit down, the first thing we do is like, do you see areas where we can improve? Give me feedback from a client perspective. What can I do better? What do you see? I mean, my clients are who told me that, hey, you guys are getting big. And there's a lot of people on the call and I'm not as open when there's six people from a squad or 12 people from a squad on the call that I was when it was just Josh and I, or just Camille and I, or maybe two people. So I thought that by having the full squad on a strategy session with them, I'm like, oh, this is going to be great. Like they're going to have so many different perspectives from different departments, paid and SEO and GLSA and the account manager and analyst and everything. And then when I started having my partner owners tell me that it made them feel less connected, I was like, okay, no more big squad meetings.
Yeah.
My bad. Sorry. I'm trying.
That's great. And they're listening to companies like yours, and that's why it's good. I did the same thing. Like, I was about to do a talk last week and I called up a HVAC client and I asked, like, I did the talk to him, you know, I'm getting the direct feedback. I think the more direct feedback an agency is getting from clients like you, the better they're gonna match your style. Because if you'd worked with a lot of like medical clients or something like that, or insurance or whatever it happens to, then perhaps they would love that 8-person, or you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's like companies like yours are forming a niched agency, and that's the beauty of it. That's the benefit of it. What else? What else should we talk about here?
How about investment strategies on different marketing platforms?
Sure.
Do you launch your business right out of the gate and take the McDonald's drive-through easy button and dump all your money in paid ads?
It's tempting.
It's tempting.
It's tempting.
It's so easy.
And it's like, So I know you and I probably both, by the way, I just want to say it. So I was out to dinner at AHR and I was with one of your clients. Nice dinner, by the way. And he said to me, he was like a little frustrated with his previous agency before you guys. And he said, I love them. And that he was having a great experience. And like agencies, sometimes we get to be the punching bags. So I was like, I took note of that. I was like, if his client's out here talking to another agency and being like, I love those guys, I've heard that from a couple other people too, that just that you guys do quality work from outside folks. But it was from, I knew the agency that he had come from before, and I knew that they don't do a lot on SEO.
Mm-hmm.
And just because we get to look at the backside of these websites,
we can tell. We can see it.
So the question is, like, if they can't tell, if the client can't tell, why does it matter? Because sometimes they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And it does it because it's not immediate results.
Yeah.
They don't want to invest in something that's going to be a result 6 months down the road. So this is, I'm saying this is kind of a tough way.
Yeah.
But like, because it's a later result, why even invest in SEO if it's the real reward is going to start 6 months from now? And paid is just now.
Now.
Ah, now. The LSA is just now.
All right, so let's think like a consumer for a second. You, all of you, you go to your next family reunion, your next company meeting, whatever, our family dinner. Ask your friends and family, what do you do when you need something? They're going to tell you, I Google it. Great. You Google it. At consensus is golden. What do you do when you Google it? Do you click the ads at the top? No one's going to raise their hand. Everybody's going to say, no, I don't click the ads at the top. I know they're paid for. The majority of people, if they're younger, are going to say, I skip the ads. Those are scammers and I'm scared of them. Right? How many of you are going to click the maps? 50% of the room is going to say they click the maps. I'm going to ask, what about if you don't need directions? And they're like, probably not. I'm like, how many of you find a website in the top 10 listings on Google? And everyone's going to say, absolutely. I'm going to go, do you go past the first 10? Absolutely not. What if the website looks like a DIY project or your kid's school project? I click back. What if you have sucky reviews? Shit.
Oh, I think you're allowed to on this
okay,
one.
Okay, sorry. I'm so used to being on corporate podcasts.
This one is
not corporate.
A free-for-all.
I can be myself.
Part of the reason I think some people watch the end of these things is who knows what I'm going to say. Maybe something I'm not supposed to. Keep watching.
I made it through a podcast earlier today, and I did not drop one curse word in a whole hour. I felt so good for like 24 hours.
For some reason, when I say a curse word, I'm like, I feel more authentic for some reason. I'm like, oh, that's.
Oh, me. I can drop those.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I don't even remember what I was talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So. Right? Website sucks, Google sucks. So the bottom line is if I want to build a business, I probably need to put the majority of my focus on the majority of consumers who skip the ads, may or may not click on the maps, are going to find a website on page 1 of Google, and then make the best freaking experience you possibly can, regardless of day or time, right? So if SEO takes a while, i.e. so does investing in stock, so does investing in real estate, so does investing versus playing blackjack, right? So with SEO, you're investing in a permanent asset that creates compounding results on your business, just like any other investment that you would do with your money. Or you can take your money to a slot machine, you can throw the dice, drop down some cards, and see if you can win on your way out of the casino. But you're the same company you were before you threw down money on paid ads. So I'm not saying paid ads don't work, but it's supposed to be used as a lever.
It's not
like something you're supposed to live by. You're going to live in a terrible situation.
So my buddy, who is part of a private equity firm, just sent me a message yesterday and said, hey, can you check out this company? They seem legit. Check out their reviews. Like they look, there's a lot of positive reviews, but can you look at their SEO to see if how much this is really supported? And what's cool, we can not only see that you built an asset, because they had a pretty good SEO, probably above average.
Yeah.
And we can also see kind of how many people are searching their brand name, which it gives a little bit of an assessment of like brand equity.
Yeah. Which, unless that's the only business you have.
Yeah. You don't want just brand equity. You want all kinds
of. You'll forever be $1 million client.
Yeah. So, but it's just interesting that PE firms are looking at like real owned assets, because you could dump a lot of money into paid, but does that mean you have a real business? Whereas SEO is kind of considered part of the infrastructure of a company. And that's like, that's an owned asset. That's not just
compounding interest versus ads. Simple interest.
Yeah.
Where the value of the dollar you invested here is worth more 2 years, 3 years, 4 years down the line, right? So private equity groups, they're investors. That's what they are by nature. So of course, right now they're trying to figure out, how do I capitalize on investing in SEO and pull back? I don't want to have to rely on paid ads. right? Your cost per conversion is huge on paid ads. You have a more, I'm sorry, but uneducated consumer who's going to click on ads. It's not a great call. They're more price conscious. They want discounts. They'll ask for prices on the call. I mean, agencies, we have access to all your phone calls. So we can tell the difference between an organic search and the kind of lead or call that comes in and a paid ad search. There's a huge difference.
Yeah.
It's a huge difference. So, you know, like, buckle up. Being an entrepreneur means you're going to have to put an investment in for a period of time, you know, 2 years, 3 years, to be able to get your business infrastructure in place, start becoming visible to consumers when and where they search, meet them where they're looking. And it is what it is. Like, anybody that says you can do it fast is full of shit. I don't.
Well, yeah, no, absolutely.
Unless you're in the middle of Dubuque, Iowa, like, game on then.
Well, there's also, because there's people that sell that aren't assessing the results later in some agencies or whatever. It's just very easy to sell something when you're disconnected from the work sometimes. And so I think that there's an element of, there's agencies out there selling dreams.
Well, and they usually don't have anybody to report to but their clients. No. I mean, in our world, we have to report our data is fully visible by every major manufacturer and distributor there is. If we don't move the needle, we get our ass handed to us. So, I mean, it's got to be full circle. If the only one they're reporting to is you and there's not a second layer of visibility, a lot of times you can get away with a lot of that.
And the other thing is content, like we talked about context and niched agencies. And I think there's also the, like, certainty that in a certain type of market, you can get this result for these types of services. And so over time, you get more and more context to what's possible. What's possible, basically, I believe that niching and knowing what's going on for different types of niches, it allows you to have certainty that if we apply this amount of effort and this, it's 100,000 people, it's this type of service, it gives you more certainty. So I'm guessing you kind of know if you look at a market
100%.
And you look at a type of service, you would know whether or not you're going to, because 100%. Time has passed. Because how long have you been doing this for?
2006. Niched in this since 2008.
And by the way, all of the results and like certainty and stuff that we get also come, sorry, for me, I'm going to speak for me, has come from failing, weirdly. I've failed.
Oh yeah, I've screwed up.
So many times. And unfortunately, like back when I was not niched at all, from medical company or wealth management company. By the way, those are hard niches. This is your money,
HVAC
your life.
Is easy.
Yeah. Your money, your life niches. Like, Google is really, really a stickler. So it's like you can't even like move the needle from links half the time. Yeah, it's
compliance
like
issues, it's crazy. It's totally different.
So just understanding, like, I have had failures, and over time that's built my certainty around other things that I am capable of. And I think that that's part of the value of the home service niche.
Yeah, I agree. I think that overall, the company owner and the agency, like we were talking about, have to be partners, because this is a supply chain, right? The supply chain, the beginning of the consumer journey, when and where are they searching? How are they being converted? How many options do you give them for being converted? Well, one, are you visible to them when and where they're searching, right? How are they being converted? What happens? Most marketing agencies, at best, all they do is bring people to your front door. What happens when they get there? What happens when they get there at 5:06 on a weekend, on 4th of July, on a crazy snow day? Mm. What happens when they get there? So companies also have to take responsibility for, how are you guys processing the leads? What's the speed to lead? How quickly are you converting leads? Are you guys, are you doing a comprehensive evaluation each and every time? Are you given the ability to replace or upgrade to a higher efficiency system? Are you leaning forward with financing first in every single situation? Are you getting quotes out to them quickly? Are you following up on the quotes quickly? What's your customer service, right? I mean, on top of that, I think one of the things that's really important to us is, before we even take on a client, we dive in and figure out what's your pricing strategy. Because I have no interest, our reputation means everything. I have no interest in taking on a client that's underpricing their products, and every lead we bring in them, we're driving them into the ground. They didn't increase their pricing when 30% increases happen with all products across the entire industry. They didn't adjust for inflation. They didn't adjust for better benefits for their own employees. And now marketing is not helping them at all, right? If you're not priced properly and you engage with the marketing agency that actually drives more business, you can give yourself a huge tail whip and quick. That 5% loss month over month over month means you're slowly going out of business, even though you feel like you're growing. So that's a rocking chair syndrome, right? Always moving, never going anywhere.
That's good. What time is it? Well, okay, you guys, okay. We're a little late.
We could talk
late,
for like 300
hours. We're a little late on the transfer. so we got a little late start, but usually this is about this long. So we can wrap up.
We can wrap up.
I feel like we've given a lot of good strategies for getting more out of your agency, but also choosing a good one.
Yeah.
And then also we've kind of set some ideas about, like, I think, like, being why people should be cool to other agencies. Because life is long, and there's also this element of the client deserves to own their stuff. That's what we're really pushing on, I think.
Yeah.
I think at the end of the day, that's the number one most important lesson. Own your stuff, and then work with an agency that will make a peaceful transfer of power. What do you call it?
This is red carpet in, red carpet out, because the likelihood of you coming back is very high. So
I like that. So that's a pretty important one, and we can keep on talking about that one.
We're sitting at a 0.3% churn rate with a love us or leave us environment.
That's great.
Incredible. It doesn't require anything other than very experienced people, a strong enough team, and a large enough team to be able to deliver, and a commitment to doing what's right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
No agency in here is not going to screw up, period.
Yeah.
And plus, clients, y'all are kind of flaky sometimes. I mean,
she said it.
You disappear for long periods of times. You're like, I'm on vacation. You just bought a website in March. You've got 3 months before it's going to be hot. No vacations for you. Like, we're going to get this done, show up, suit up, participate. Like, you got to commit to the process.
That's real. I think that's one reason their clients love her. So thank you guys so much for being on. Can you give a call to action and your guys' web address?
What's our web address? I'm just kidding. CIWebgroup.com.
Awesome. Check them out. Thank you for joining. Thank you for watching. The podcast is put on by HookAgency.com. Hook Agency all over social media. And I'm grateful that you sat down with me. Thank you for hanging out.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right.
Let's go.